1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Let's read that. Very interesting. I want you to notice a specific word that's listed in here in this verse. Some horrible, sinful things that are listed. But in verse number 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Let me stop and get my tongue fixed here. There we go. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Aren't you glad you can be saved out of these things? Such were some of you, but you were washed. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this tonight, I pray that you'll be a help to us and use this portion of Scripture, we pray, dear Lord, and the other parts of your word that will help us in this area, as we certainly, and especially those that have lived for some decades now, a lengthy time, have certainly seen a decline, and perhaps we are witnessing the demise of masculinity, Bible masculinity. And so I pray, dear God, that the church of Jesus Christ would be rock solid on this, on these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Obviously, I've spent some time teaching on this and preaching on this and then writing on this, and I've spoken on this subject several times in a couple different ways here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We did a series on masculinity, biblical masculinity, and so I don't want to just repeat material. I want to tell you that this, in my estimation, certainly it has a deserving spot on the 40 biggest issues in the past 40 years. I tell you sometimes the story of talking to a Bible college president, and I asked him about what he's seeing, what are we sending, and when I say we, I'm not necessarily talking about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but what are the problems that he sees in the young people that are coming into Bible college, and of all the things he could have commented on, the first thing about the young men that he said was that they were effeminate, that there was just a lack of masculinity. And for him to say that, a Bible college president, for him to say that. Now, if you're going to see it in the world, we see that. But that means that it's happening in the Church of Jesus Christ. And he did say this, and I was pleased to hear him say it. He said, "Brother Ross, your church certainly is an exception to that. Almost every young man we've got from your church understands the basic tenets of masculinity and has integrated them into their lives, and I appreciated that. But at the same time, if it's happening in churches, I want to make sure we shore it up here. We've seen men and masculinity, Bible masculinity, decline. There's an increasing effort to try to redefine what masculinity is and what it isn't. I'm not interested in hearing two people argue over what their opinions are. I'm certainly wanting to go to the Word of God and get a clear definition from God as far as what that is. Young men, you ought to be masculine. You ought to be masculine. Young ladies, you ought to be feminine. Sounds crazy in this day and age that a preacher would even have to say that. But that ought to be your heart's desire. That ought to be what you strive for. That's the original tent when God created you. Thrice repeated in the opening chapters of the creation story, God says male and female created he them. Thrice repeated. Something's thrice repeated. That means the God believes it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all in agreement on it. God set a boundary between men and women. God expects that boundary to be respected. God created men a certain way. He created women a different way. He created men with certain responsibilities, and he's put those responsibilities upon us. He expects certain things from us. Bible clearly defines what God expects in a man, what his idea of masculinity is. Created a woman for certain for certain things, certain responsibilities. He's given her certain skills so that she can carry out those responsibilities. And we have an increasing society that wants to break that wall down between it. Young ladies increasingly acting masculine, young men increasingly acting feminine. Here's a little thought, and I'm not even going to have to develop it. The Holy Spirit will for you. I'm going to change the sign tomorrow, and it's going to say next Sunday night that we'll preach on the demise of femininity. So who's going to be there next week, and how will they be dressed, Christian lady? Just let that sink in. Take it home with you. Okay? How are they going to protest next week? All right? Now, what we have here is a problem. Young men are more and more effeminate. Now, I'm not saying this and putting you all in the same barrel. We have some young men I'm very proud of around here. Matter of fact, I've really noticed in the last several months, I've taken time to notice. Parents, thank you. You're doing a good job. I've got a lot of our young men that I'm just super, super impressed with. They are working on these areas. Parents are working with them in these areas. It's refreshing to have teenage young men walk up and get a hold of your hand and know how to give a man's handshake and look you in the eye. I feel like I've had an encounter with a young man. It's nice when I ask most of the young men a question that they understand that it's their responsibility to speak up like a man and speak clearly like a man and not mumble and mumble and mumble. And I have to ask them five times what they said. Parents are working on those things because it's important. Here, listed amongst all of these horrible sins, fornication and idolatry and adultery, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, is this sin of being effeminate. If you looked up that word, it means to be, literally means to be soft. Okay, young man, being soft is something a young lady ought to aspire to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Being, that's not something you ought to aspire to.
Right.
They're soft, they're supposed to. They're delicate, they're supposed to be. They're feminine, they're supposed to be. None of those words ought to describe you as a young man. Okay? None of them ought to describe you. If I was a young man and other men had the opinion of me that I was soft, I would do whatever I had to do to change that opinion. I wouldn't want that reputation. I wouldn't want to live with that reputation. I wouldn't want to be saddled with that reputation. Okay? So you as you become a man, there's certain things that you need to strengthen. As you transition from a boy into being a young man, there's certainly some masculine traits carefully outlined by the Bible, and I've given you 21 of those in a book, and it would be good for some of you to dust it off and read it and take it serious. Let me give you several areas that I can help our young men that aren't a repetition of some of the things in the book. At least most of them's not. Let me just give you some. I want to just be more practical tonight, at least in the beginning few minutes here. Number one, a man should be masculine in his appearance. A man should be masculine in his appearance. Now, that means you ought to dress in a masculine way. And nothing about what you ever wear ought to smack of femininity at all. At all. Okay, the Bible says the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. What you saw out there this afternoon was an abomination to the Lord God. Okay. But it's just as much an abomination for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man or a man to put on a woman's garment. Now, young men, I'm talking to you tonight, so let me say this. You ought to be careful in the picking out of your clothes. I don't mind that wives buy their husband's clothes. If you ask my wife, do you buy your husband's clothes? She'd tell you no. I don't think it's unmasculine for your wife to buy your clothes. I do think it's unmasculine for you to wear something that they would pick that is anything but obviously masculine. Moms, when you pick out clothes for your boys, don't dress them pretty. They're not supposed to look pretty.
but this looks cute. We're not going for cute. Okay? Listen to me. Raise young men. Dress them like young men. Okay? You should be masculine in your appearance. That means what you put on your body ought to speak towards masculinity. There shouldn't be anything that you're wearing that could cause somebody to say, well, that's a little bit effeminate. Okay? You're seeing the only piece of jewelry that the preacher wears. I've had men buy me nice rings. I mean friends. That sounded kind of strange, didn't it? I had men buy me. Yeah, it was going to go this way at some point. There's just too much that's happened today for it not to go this way. After I killed my first record book buck, Brother Bo Eichelman, when I made it into the Pope and Young Club in the record setting, you know, where they register the monster bucks, Brother Bo Eichelman came to my office. It was the strangest visit I've ever had. He came to my office, he pulled up a chair, and he said, Brother Pastor Jerry, you've meant a lot to me, and I bought something for you. And he reached in his pocket like this and pulled out a ring box and set it in the middle of the table. I just ran out of the room. I thought, this is the strangest visit I've ever had in my office. I thought, I'm looking at him, and he's kind of, you know, Brother Bose, you know, he's glad to do it. So I opened it up, and it was a very, very nice ring that shows that I'm a member of the Pope and Young Club because of this buck I killed. And you know what I did with it? I wore it a few times. I'm just not a jewelry guy. I'm just not. I don't care if you wear more than one ring. I'm not saying that makes you effeminate, but I do worry about some of you that like rings on this finger or this finger or a thumb ring or all these other weird things, a toe ring. I don't want to wear a ring, and this one didn't. It's very masculine. I mean, it is. It's from a hunting club. But you know what I did? I took that ring, and I put it on my keychain, and it's still there today. And every time I grab my keys and use them, I think about Brother Bo and him doing that nice thing for me. But listen, I'm not trying to be over, but I'm just saying I'm a guy. Okay, I don't have on my desk at home this jewelry case. I don't have that. Okay, I don't wear necklaces. I don't wear earrings. I don't wear bracelets. You know why? Because that's girls' jewelry. Okay, now I'm trying to help some young men. Some of you are going to come out here thinking I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help you. You need to turn off American Idol. Okay, you need to stop looking at all the little teeny boppers out there and the little boys. And look, by the way, take a minute and step back and look at those things before you trash it. Do you realize that the driving styles amongst young men is the most popular way to dress is to try to look homosexual? I don't know how else to say it. It is. You pick up a fashion magazine, teenage boys, and again, why should teenage boys have fashion magazines? Some of you are way into fashion. Are you listening to me? You're way into in fact. What's wrong? Why are you into fashion? And I think you know what? I try to dress sharp. I want to represent the Lord well. I want to represent the church well. I'm not saying to dress like a slob. I'm not saying not to color coordinate. I'm saying this. Listen to me. I don't know anything in the world that says I'm gay more than skinny jeans. But I had a friend. Call me. He's divorced. His wife has the kids. He said, my son came over to the house for the week I'm supposed to have him. He had a pair of skinny jeans. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I cut him up. He said, I got on him. I got in his face. I said, why in the world would you want to wear something like this? He said, well, the girls like them. All right, guys, let me just help you with something, okay? You're not supposed to dress to please the girls. You're supposed to dress to please the Lord. Okay. You say, you really said that a second ago. Yeah, I really said that. And by the way, there's not a person in here that's got two brain cells rubbing against each other that the first time you didn't see a boy in skinny jeans didn't think that's gay. But your little boy wanted to come home begging for him and asking for him and wanting him, and then you, next thing, now you're defensive about it. Now what I'm saying is this, young men, don't get caught up in that nonsense. Dress like a man. You're not going to learn how to dress like a man by watching the TV or watching the silly movies or watching American Idol. You're going to learn how to dress like a man by hanging around Christian men. Okay, so Christian men, let's dress like men. Okay? Now listen to me. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, 11-14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is glory for her. 1 Corinthians 11:14-15, for her hair is given her for a covering. And so one of the ways that you make sure that you look masculine is that you keep your hair cut. The Bible says if you have long hair, it's a shame unto you. And we get in this same argument with the women. I gave you the best answer I could good. You know, where does hair on a woman cease to be long and start to be short? And I said, you know what? If somebody was trying to describe you to somebody who's going to meet you, had never seen you before, and they try to describe you, and they said, she's got brown hair, and it's kind of, what would she say? And that's a good way to answer it. Okay? Well, let me say this, young man. If someone was describing me, I wouldn't say, yeah, if you ever been passionate, no, well, he's got kind of dark brown hair and it's kind of long. Did you notice how I just said dark brown hair? That's all I said was it's just dark brown hair. They'd never find me if they were looking for me, you know. I don't want them to say that. I want to say, you know what, he's got dark brown hair and, you know, it's pretty short. Kind of short. Okay? It's about as long as it gets. I'm due to go see my barber. And again, I've said this before, and I think some of you think I'm kidding, and I'm not. Take your boys to a barber. You think that's pastor's favorite rant, but I really mean it. There's something about a young man that shows up to a real barber. You women that take your boys to women hairdressers are completely out of your mind. Boys aren't supposed to get perms or hairdos. They're supposed to get haircuts. And I'm as serious as I can be. I don't understand you not seeing that there ought to be a problem with that. Oh, well, it's just a little thing. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah, it really kind of does. Okay, Dad cut our hair growing up, and when he got tired of doing it, I went to a barber shop, and when I went in there, it's this neat little red, white, and blue thing going around on the front of it. And it says barbershop. It's owned by a guy. You walk in and sit down. There's a table, usually, or a rack, and it's got guns and ammo, and it's got four-wheel drive trucks. And that's the kind of magazines that are in there. And that's when you know you're at a barbershop. There's guys in there, and that's the place to be. I can almost imagine. By the way, I'm kind of glad Dad was in heaven and he didn't have to see what we saw this morning. But I can see him looking down from heaven right now going, amen! What's happened? What's happened? You say, these are just crazy things. You're a legalist. You call me anything you want, but I'm going to tell you something. You're listening to a man tonight, and I don't have any patience with young men that are determined not to be manly. I just don't have any patience. I don't have any respect for them. I don't have any respect for them. The fact that they want to help break down that boundary that God set. I don't want to get halfway there. I don't want to get in between there. I want to be very much over here so that there's no question, there's no doubt. Some of you fashion slaves, you need to stop it. Okay, I want a shirt with this on the front of it. Does it say Remington? Guns and Ammo? National Rifle Association? Then why do you want it? You know why? Peer pressure. You want to look like the world. That's why, you can say everything you want to say, but you want to look like the world. You want to be able to walk in a worldly situation, fit in with the world, and look, wear what they're wearing. That's what it is. Bottom line, that's what it is. Here you go, plain Holy Spirit again. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't have to if you'd listen to the real one. Man should be masculine in his appearance. Okay, there's three dress principles in the Bible. I've taught them to you, but let me review them. When you're considering buying something, what you ought to do as a young man is say, number one, is it unquestionably masculine? All right, that's where it starts. Unquestionably masculine, Deuteronomy 22:5. Number two, is it unquestionably modest? Okay, if it's not unquestionably masculine, unquestionably modest, I won't look at it twice. I never put it on my body. Okay, is it, number three, unquestionably Christian? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't want to look feminine. I don't want to look immodest. And I don't want to look worldly. So I stay away from any piece of article of clothes that would have a shade of that in it. Okay, let's go back to being independent fundamental Baptist. Let's raise young men. Okay, so number one, a young man should be masculine in his appearance. You say, preacher, does dressing like a Christian really make that much? All right, I got to hurry. A man should be masculine in his appearance. Number two, a man should work, pay his way, and provide for his family in this life. A man should work, pay his way, and provide for his family in this life. Don't get upset with me. I do understand there's men that would love to be able to do this, and because of physical limitations or disease or an accident, I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a generation of freeloaders. I'm talking about knocking on doors and finding boys at home. They're 18, 19, 20, 25 boys. And they've come to the door because they finally laid their little video player, video control down. And they say, as I start inviting them to church, well, I don't know if we'll go or not. I don't know. I can't ask my wife right now. She's at work. She's working. Where do you work at? Well, I don't work. She's working two jobs, but I don't work in there. You know, it's hard to find work. Well, it must be not that hard because your wife found two of them. If there's a young lady and she's in that situation, she's out there, I'm going to give you a little piece of pastoral advice. Throw the bomb out on the street. There are young men all over this society, all over this culture, it's just looking for one thing. They want a young lady that's paid the price, went out and got an education, or willing to work a couple of jobs, and they just want to shack up with her and let... Listen, how many times do you see this every day of your life? Here comes a beater old car up, girl's driving it, the boy is in the driver's seat, usually slouched down with an earring or face ring of some kind. Pulls up to the gas station, he looks over and goes like this. She opens her purse and gives him money. He staggers out, pulls his britches up, and goes in there, buys his pack of cigarette, comes back down and plops down, looks over at her, and she backs out. Why? And I don't get it. I mean, I know loneliness has got to be kind of rough, but there's things rougher than loneliness. I live my life, if I was a young lady, I'd live my life forever alone, for I'd support that loafer. She's paying for the car. She's working the job, and he's having, well, I don't know, I just keep looking, and I tried here, and you know what, it didn't work out, and then I tried here, and well, whoa. Now, come on now. Young men, listen to me. You work in your teenage years. You build calluses on your hand. You build muscles in your arms. You strengthen your back. You go to work. And you know what? When you get of age and you graduate from high school, you go out there and you work. Well, how long's that for? Till you stop breathing. You work. That's what God made you to do. That's what He's equipped you to do. The woman's a weaker vessel. She's not made to have to bear that. When God handed down the curse after the sin in Genesis 23, He says this, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return unto the ground. Out of it what thou wast taken, and durst thou art and unto dust, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now again, you're just going to have to say, preacher, you ought to be more loving and compassionate, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't abide being very long in the presence of a lazy young man. I just can't. I got to get away from the kid, because if I don't get away from him, I'm going to say something I shouldn't, or I'm going to hurt him. I mean it. I don't have any tolerance for some guy that spends his life trying to figure out how to get out of everything. I've watched young men work harder at not working than if they had just worked. Now listen, get dirty. Be willing to get dirty. Okay? You're not supposed to be soft. You're not supposed to be delicate. I would embarrass the lady, but there's a mom in this room that I drove by the house one day, and she was out there struggling to mow a yard. Two teenage boys sitting in the house. Now again, sometimes I got to remind myself where my boundaries are. But I wanted to go knock on that door and grab those two boys and kick them all the way out into the yard. That's what my dad would have done if it had been me. That's what my grandpa would have done. Okay, young man, if you're lazy, shame on you. That's a wicked sin before God. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. We'll talk about this. We're going to get to the entitlement mentality of welfare, so I don't want to use up all my verses on this. But you know what? The Bible says that you study to be quiet, do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you. Work. Work. Amen. Work. Amen. Work. I got young ladies in this room. Hard workers. I've got some young men in this room, hard workers. I also got some lazy young ladies and some lazy young men. Mom and Dad, you need to stop letting them beat that away. You need to stop letting them beat that away. A man should lead his family both practically and spiritually. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. This will be our last point. And I've got a couple more, but we'll close it up after this. The demise of masculinity. What's happening? Young men and even older men want to appear feminine. It's as if that's their goal. I want to dress in such a way that causes everybody to look at me twice and wonder if I'm gay. I don't get that. I want them to look at me once and know that I'm a man. Okay. A man should work, pay his way, and provide for his family in this life. Okay, pay the bills. Amen. Work, pay the bills. Mama, stay home, raise the kids. Number 3, a man should lead his family both practically and spiritually. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 22, let me get there. We see in the Word of God that God, and again, this is an entire section, but we see very specifically this boundary that's set up. Women here, here's what God's created you to be. Here's what God's created you to do. Men, you're over here. This is masculine. This is feminine. Stay over here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. A very spiritual position in the home. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, what's this saying? This is putting a huge responsibility on the man, just not to be the leader of the home, but to lead the home as Christ led the church. You are men to be the spiritual leaders in your home, both the practical and the spiritual leaders of your home. Provide your wife with the love and support she needs.
Provide your wife with the spiritual leadership that she needs. Provide your children with the spiritual stability and godly example that they need. They need that from you, dads. They need that from you. I guess if there's just something that literally, I mean, I've set my office and weep over and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to fix it. But if I could go back over the last 10 years, I can't tell you how many times. We've got some of them in here in our church trying to do it right now, and I'm not trying to embarrass them. But we have some gal that comes in here, young mama, young wife, sometimes middle age, and they come in here and they come to church and they come to church and they bring the kids, and then finally they get the guy to show up and he sits back there like he's being tortured, and then he won't come for a while, and she comes and she tries to keep the kids in, and she tries to keep the kids in, and here comes, you know, the guy again, and he'll come a little bit and then something will happen and pretty soon he's off. And you know what? She's trying to lead that family spiritually, and you know what? She wasn't designed to do that. She shouldn't have to do that. I sat down in my office, took out a piece of paper, and just started writing. He said, Lord, bring them to memory. And I wrote down probably 10, 15 couples in the last 6 to 8 years where a woman came in here saying, this is what we need. This is what I need. Listen, our marriage is in trouble. Our kids are going the wrong way. We've got to get God in on this thing. And literally have to practically drag a husband behind them. And you know what? He don't really want to be here, so he wears her out. She tries to do it for as long as she can, and at some point she, and I'm not saying she, listen, ladies, you shouldn't have to do that, but if you have to, it's still worth keeping your kids in church and being that person. And I've watched ladies have to do that their whole lives, and they shouldn't have had to do it, but they said, I'm going to do it, and thank God for them. But you know what? It shouldn't be that way. That's not the way God designed it. Daddy ought to be the first one out of bed on a Sunday morning. Daddy ought to be the one that says, boys, girls, get up. We're going to church. Is your shoes polished? Do you have your Bibles with you? All right, let's go. We're heading to the car. Let's go to church. It ought to be the dad that's doing that. I mean, I hurt for these young ladies. I hurt for them. I'm watching them try. I'm watching them struggle. I'm watching them weep in the foyer sometimes. By the way, use some wisdom, church. But you know what? Sometimes they get tired of always being asked, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? And they don't know what to say after a while. So don't ask them every time. Hey, preacher, what do we need to do? Well, we do what we try to do. We reach out to these men. We go to their homes. We talk to them. We try to disciple them. I brought them in for counseling sessions. But you know what I cannot do them for them? I cannot be a man for them. At some point, you got to set aside your bushel baskets of excuses, and you've got to man up in this area and say, you know what? My wife shouldn't have to carry the leadership role. She shouldn't have to carry this burden, and my children shouldn't have to go ask my wife when they got a Bible question. You know what? Maybe I'm going to have to do some catching up. Maybe I'm going to do some studying. Maybe I won't always know the answer. But it's time for me to start leading spiritually in our home. Amen. Ladies, listen to me. I'm going to tell you a story about that. I've also seen, I could call their name. I could tell you the name. Lady came to our church, and oh, pray for my husband. Pray for him. I just wish he'd come. I just wish so much he'd come. The kids need him to come. So I went, and I spent 2 or 3 months off and on working with that guy, got him into church, got him pretty solid. He took off, started growing. Watch it. Started learning from the Bible what his position was in the home. Started stepping up into that position. And then all of a sudden, the wife wanted to leave the church. Some gals just want to be victims. The reason the husband don't want to come with them is, you know what? By the way, go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Is it 1st or 2 Peter chapter 3? It talks about if you want to win your husband, do it through your conversation. Okay, you can't say, oh, I wish he'd be the spiritual leader, and every time he steps up, then buck him. All right? But I'm preaching to men tonight. Just took a little side trip there. All right? Men, step up. Well, she don't want to follow. Step up anyway. Well, what if she doesn't follow and step up anyway? You do what you're supposed to do. You lead whether anybody follows or not. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. If we just construct the family according to the word of God and the principles found here in Ephesians chapter 5. We get men to step up and lead, women to encourage them to that leadership and submit to their leadership and support them and encourage them. You know what? You'd find out some pretty neat things begin to happen in your family. That's the way God intended it. The demise of masculinity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us just to share some thoughts. This is a subject that we could go on in, and Lord, certainly we've done the best we can to provide materials to help this generation. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to get some of that done, and for my wife's work on the other book, and the feedback we're getting, and the desperate pleas that we've heard in the months getting that stuff ready and getting up to it. Now the excitement and the people's lives that are being helped and strengthened. Lord, I pray, dear God, that it would be so also at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, may their prophet not be without honor in his own country. Lord, may they take the materials that we've produced to try to help a nation and allow it to help the families right here. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help the men in our church. Lord, in these areas we've covered and other areas that we've written about, may we set the right tone for the young men. Help the young men not to get so influenced by the world and the things of the world. I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to grow up. Because before a man can be a man of God, he's got to be a man. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just help us to reclaim some things that have been lost over these several generations. We pray in Jesus' name.